Second chapter of Book of Ruth, please. Second chapter. Tonight's title is Another Providence of the Graceful God. I'm sure that all of you have heard this phrase or even used this particular phrase. God works in a mysterious way. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
And you probably use it as well. But personally, I don't like it, I don't use it. I will explain to you. I prefer to say God knows what He's doing, but I don't. And if I have to add something, it would be all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. He knows all things. It might be mysterious, but it's not to God. Some people would like to use the word coincidence. Hardly in God's dictionary. And everything and all things were arranged and according to His knowledge and providential will of God. Even though we foul up bad, even though we make a royal mess, and everything we think we could handle with our own strength, without God, and even though our sins brought more disease than we can count, care to count, God can still take care of everything for His glory and for our benefit. I sure am glad that we are serving great God. Don't you agree?
Yes, yeah.
Please allow me to define providence of God. Providence of God is the beneficent outworking of God's sovereignty whereby all events are directed and disposed to bring about those purposes of the glory and good for which universe was made. I think this was written by attorney. I have no idea what it means. Why don't they just say it works by God? The attorney get paid by the words, right? Sometimes understanding the providence of God is like a Hebrew reading the Hebrew lettering. To understand it, you have to read it from the backward. Instead of reading from the left to right, you have to read it from the right to left. It's kind of like a Chinese as well. What I'm saying is, if you try to see what's happening at the beginning part, you don't know. While you're in the middle, you still don't know. When you're there, when everything is over, when you start to look back, all of a sudden, everything starts to make sense. You with me on that? Try not to comprehend providential will of God. What I'm saying is don't try to unscrew inscrutable God. Okay? We don't have intelligence to understand Him. Last Thursday night, after Naomi's family, they disobediently departed their hometown, Bethlehem, went to the land of Moabite. That was no-no, but they chose to go because under the name of a famine. And it was not just a short journey, it was a long time, 10 years. While they were there, their sons got married with two Moabite women. Another disobedience. Naomi lost her husband, Elimelech, and two sons. Now, she's coming back with her Moabite daughter-in-law, Ruth, back to the hometown because there is a good news about the hometown is flourishing with the food. You see, Naomi was full of bitterness toward God because of the consequences of her sin, as if it was His fault. I dealt with that, and as I said before, that many people put the blame on God for the consequences of their own sins. That's about to be changed. Ruth and Naomi had no idea that they were in the part of an eternal plan that would be fulfilled in Abrahamic covenant that God made to the one of His seed, that is capital S seed, Jesus Christ, will bring the blessing to the entire world. Ruth's story begins with the death of a husband, but it ends with the birth of baby. It starts with the tear of her husband's death, but it ends with a triumph and a smile and victory with God's, through the God's grace and faith and hope in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so defiant in many cases, but yet You still loves us. We try to comprehend You with the limited knowledge we have, limited wisdom we have. Father, let us have a simple, obedient heart like a child. Believe that You will work all things together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to Your purpose. Father, we are asking You to speak to our heart tonight, that we may get a glimpse of Your providence. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 2, please. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after..." Note that "him" is in your Bible, might probably in italic, or some of your Bible may not even have it there. Whenever you see the italic in the Bible text scripture, that is not in the original manuscript. It was inserted by the editors for our understanding. "After, in whose sight I may find favor," she said to her, "go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And so she happened to come to the part of the field that belonged to the Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Naomi and her family made a choice 10 years before, as I said before, during the time of famine. They thought it was necessary for them to go to land they were not supposed to go. They thought the people in Bethlehem would starve to death. Contrary to their thought, people in Bethlehem, none of them starved to death, and obviously they are doing fine. Sometimes we justify our wrong choices, sometimes we justify the wrong choices because of difficult circumstances. But God will strengthen us and bless us and make a right choice even in the difficult circumstances. You with me on that? This was one of the social assistance programs in Israel, according to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 through 10. Farmers are not supposed to completely harvest each their field. If it's a corner, they're supposed to go around, so there will be some portion left behind for the needy and widows and orphans. So those who are poor can come around and clean those areas. And they are even encouraged to leave some sheaves. So if you drop something, do not pick them up. That's for the needy and poor and the orphans and widows. You know, I really like that program because it gives them, not only make them to do the generous, have a generous heart, as well as for the poor, they are supposed to get up and go work. And with the dignity, they can earn something. I disagree with the social program that liberals have an idea and hand out the check. You know what that means? Everybody had to depend on that check. It's nothing more than socialism. I don't care what they call it. What they're trying to do is they're trying to make the people that depend on the government so they can control them. All right, off the political soapbox, verse 4. "Now behold, the Boaz came from the Bethlehem, said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless you.'" Would that be nice if you go to work, your employer, your supervisor said, "The Lord be with you," and you answer back, "The Lord bless you"? Wow, what a concept. Nowadays, you get fired. "Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from the morning until now, though she rests a little in the house. No sooner the boys came and greeted his workers, his eyes caught the stranger. If you want to add, maybe beautiful stranger. It must have been a love in the first sight from the boys. The ladies like this kind of thing. What you don't see in the English translation, but it's in the Hebrew version, that the boys was whistling and then saying, "Oh, babe." See, boys from this moment, he was rather focusing on the Ruth more than harvest, his own harvest. The Spirit of Living God led Ruth to go to the one of the boys' field. Many times we are looking for the will of God and the ways of way of God in some spectacular way. The Lord often uses a natural way to lead us to do what He wants. So don't expect any gold embossed letter from heaven or some fancy neon sign in the middle of the sky. That's not going to happen. Or also, you are not going to get a text in your phone. Speaking of text, there are some people will not answer the phone, but they will answer text. Like my daughter. I don't get it. When we commit our lives to the Lord, what happened to us happened by the way of appointment, not by accident. Remember what I said? There's no such a thing as coincidence in God's dictionary. It does not just happen. It's arranged by God. Appointment, divine appointment. Ruth was a still poor widow and she's an alien. I don't know if she had a document or not, but she was an alien. And God was about to create a new relationship that would completely alter her circumstance and future. Many Bible students have seen the boys as a picture of Jesus Christ, another typology. And his relationship with his bride, the church. Like a Ruth, lost sinners is outside the covenant family of God, bankrupt and no claims on God's mercy. That's Gentile, like us. The Hebrew people is a different story. They are the God's family. They are God, they are chosen people. For the Gentile like us, we didn't have a prayer. But God extended His mercy toward us while we were His enemy. But God took initiative. Note that word. God took initiative and provided a way to us to enter His family through the faith in Jesus Christ. We'll learn more about this relationship then known as a kinsman redeemer in the next chapter. So you can say kinsman, the third chapter would be climax. One more thing we must pay attention is, did you notice how the supervisor of the reapers took notice of the Ruth? How she handled herself around the people, how diligent a worker she was. You know what that means, folks? You as a believers, unbelievers will notice you. Whatever you say, whatever you do, if you start to throw a temper tantrum and you have that word coming out from your mouth, they will notice you. Verse 8, please. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go and to glean in another field, nor go in from here. But stay close by my young woman. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young man not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessel and drink from what the young man has drawn." Listen, grace means that God makes first move. Remember what I said? God made an initiative toward us. God made the first move to come to our aid, not because we deserve anything, but because He loves us first with His unending love. Go, keep your finger there. Go to 1 John chapter 4, please, verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. It's a small sentence, short sentence. It has a lot of theology in there. See, that God took initiative in salvation when we are spiritually dead. And without the strength, we are sinners and His enemies. Salvation was not an afterthought of God. It was not plan B. But in that which He planned from eternity, we have every reason to believe that boys loved Ruth, and therefore He took the first step to meet her needs. Go down to the verse 10, please. So He fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to Him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes? You should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner." And the boys answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me that all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to the people whom you did not know before. The Lord will repay you a work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wing you have come for refuge." Verse 13. Then she said, "Let me find a favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now the boy said to her at the mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of the bread in the vinegar." Somebody might like it. I don't think that's... especially one who has acid reflux. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed the parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded her young men, said, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let the grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean. Do not rebuke her." I want you to see the beautiful picture of the grace of God here. Let me give you the comparison here. God made us to be joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go there. The Romans 8:17. We studied this verse. Boaz took Ruth under his care as a member of his own family. God provided all our need according to His riches in glory. In Philippians 4:19, some of you guys know this by heart. And Boaz provided Ruth's needs without her knowledge. Remember we just read? God protect us. 1 John 4:4 and Philippians 4:7. And Boaz ordered his young men not to touch her. Very important. I don't think that Boaz extended his kindness to Ruth because he has a crush on her. I don't think that's the only reason. I think it's just his character. And you may ask, why you think that? Remember when he came to the servant, his reapers, who was the one who greeted him first? Boaz, not the servant. Boaz made the first initiative. He greeted his servant, and of course, servant greeted him back. That's kind of man, in my opinion. So true kindness shown when we extend ourselves to others who, as far as we can see, have nothing to give us back. That's a true kindness. And the Bible says, I tried to find the verse, maybe you can help me. I tried to find it, I could not remember. It's one of the Pauline's gospel, Pauline's letter, I think. If you do something for somebody who can give you, pay you back, what good is it? Do you remember from the New Testament? I could not remember. Anyway, it's in the Bible. Yeah, that's Jesus. Then Jesus said it. Yeah, gospel, not Pauline. I was wrong. You know, I'm not surprised at why the Lord blessed this man, Boaz. He's not only kind to others. First, he made the right priority in his heart. Look at the verse 12, please. Verse 12. See, the Lord repay your work. Notice that the Lord repay your work, full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to refuge. Remember in last chapter, Naomi, contrary to her idea, she said, go back to your people and what? Your gods. She was acknowledging their gods. And she was bitter toward the God of Israel. Here, he doesn't talk about their God, Moabite's God. He simply talks about God of Israel. All right. Please notice the reaction of the Ruth. Too fast. So she fell on her face, verse 10, and bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found a favor in your eyes that you should take a notice of me since I am a foreigner? She fell at the feet of the master and submitted herself to him. She looked away from her poverty and she focused on his riches, the promise that was given to her. You know, many people are miserable. Many people are miserable because they don't obey the admonition of that comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Go there, please. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, let's read it from the verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by the great crowd of witnesses, the author of the book of Hebrews listed all these things. By the way, some people call the author of the Hebrews Apostle Paul, which I think, but there is a good argument that it was written by Apollos as well. Don't know. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnare us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And note that, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, she did not, looking into her own miserable situation, her poverty and her loneliness, but rather she was focusing on the promise of this man, Boaz. You know, the people who go through misery, they spend so much time looking at themselves and their circumstance and other people. So they fail to notice what Ruth did. And namely, they center their attention to the masters. Instead of resting in his perfection, they are looking at their imperfection. Instead of looking at his spiritual riches, they are looking at their own physical bankruptcy. And then you may say, well, it's hard to unnotice. That's true. But at the same time, you can make effort to look into the God's promise. I read this small short poem, which I think is very appropriate. And maybe you can, if you are going through a tough time, not just financial time, but I want you to write it down, and so maybe you can put it in your mind. It's not a Bible verse, but I think it's very appropriate from the Lord. Look at self, be distressed. Look at others, be depressed. Look at Jesus, you'll be blessed. Make sense? Let's read that thing together out loud. Look at self and be distressed. Look at others, be depressed. and look at Jesus and you'll be blessed. I like that. Don't you? If you listen to the voice of the world, you will be discouraged. But if you listen to the voice of the Spirit of the living God, whose promise is written in the Bible, you will be encouraged. Okay, verse 17, please. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned. It was about the ephah of the barley. And then she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, so she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth and the Moabite said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young men, that the people do not meet you in any other field." Verse 23, so she stayed close by the young woman's boy and to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Yes, God blessed Ruth, and other people was generous to her. At the same time, she worked hard. It was from the sunrise to sundown work, hard working day. And according to some commentators' commentary, this ephod was quite a lot of food that particular day. It was about a week amount of food for the two grown-up women. I don't know how much that is. Depends on who's eating. 20 quarts. Yeah, if it's a biker chick, no, that will never happen. Never mind. It was lost in the translation. Yeah, you know, the big, burly biker chick, that'll never happen. Last time we met Naomi, she was sharing her bitterness with the people and woman in the Bethlehem. However, this time she was praising God. All of a sudden she realized God was faithful all this time. Remember when Ruth left in the morning, she didn't say anything other than three words, "Go, my daughter." She didn't promise that I will pray for you. She didn't say, "Go, girl, you can do it." No encouragement. Because she was still bitter. And when she saw the faithfulness of God, and she realized, God is faithful. Now we hear the new word from her lips, and blessed. She not only be blessed, Ruth's benefactor, Boaz, and she also blessed the Lord. We have moved from the bitterness to the blessedness. What a change has taken in the place of this grieving and bitter widow. Before we all over her with her bitterness, you can understand from the human side, you can see why she was bitter. But yet, we should remember. We should remember the promises of God. Should we not believe? Should not we who believed and have assurance of Jesus Christ rejoice in hope even more? Remember, Naomi did not have this promise book. You know? She did not even have a scripture to back it up or fall backward. She just had to simply rely on what she knows. But we have a difference. If you consider who he is and what he has done in our lives, he said, and what he said in his word, there's no reason for us to feel hopeless. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in the sitting for us. Let's go to the 2 Peter 1:4, please. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. For the Christian believers, hope is not a wishful thinking. Okay? Hope is not wishful thinking. Rather, it is grounded in the promises of God Almighty. It is ours to trust and keep. The hope that the world clings to is a dead hope. That's a little wishful thinking. However, ours is a living hope because it is rooted in the living Christ. It is encouraging to see the change that taken place in the Naomi's heart because of what the Ruth did. God used the Ruth to turn the Naomi's bitterness to the gratitude, and her unbelief into the faith, and her despair to hope. One person trusting God and obeying his will can make a much difference. Somebody asked me, how can you be faithful to God? How can you trust God in the midst of one bad circumstance after another circumstance? You know, I did not have a whole lot of answer other than what I know from the Bible. But at the same time, I could give him my testimony. Since 1987, I've been walking with God. He never failed me. Not once. I have failed him many, many times, countless times, but he never once failed me. He's been faithful to me all this time. He's been faithful to the other Christians. He's been faithful to the, from the day one. Why should I doubt now? He has a perfect track record. So if you have any doubt, just look back and how faithful he has been in your life. I have three applications, which is a pretty much a simple one, but if you do this, you are perfect. First one, we must live by faith in the Lord. Easy to do it, easy to say it, hard to do it, right? Second thing, we must live by the grace in the Lord. Not only living in the grace of God, but also extending grace to others. Number three, we must live by hope in the Lord. Let's stand up and pray. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Don't look around, please. Some of you may go through a rough time. Seems like you're in a dark tunnel. Seems like that things get worse and worse. You thought there is a light in the tunnel, and you just find out it's an oncoming train. Remember how faithful God has been to you. Do not doubt. If you are going through that tough time, please raise your hand so I can pray with you. God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you. Let's pray. And Heavenly Father, lifting up my brothers and sisters, you cater this particular study for them, to speak to them, so that they may live in the faith, they may live in grace, they may live in the hope of you, and in you, by you. Father, you speak to them and remind your faithfulness to them. At the same time, we are asking you to give them comfort and peace and wisdom. The peace that passes all men's understanding will guard their heart. And you're willing, Lord. You take care of them, whatever the situation that they're going through. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.